through verse 26. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through verse 26. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they, that is the people of Bethsaida, bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught or anything. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Again, Mark is the only one who records this miracle, and as we saw last week, it is different than any of the other miracles, healing miracles of Christ. This miracle was performed in two stages. It's also interesting to note that after Jesus touched him, put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. You look at all the miracles that are recorded where Christ healed a blind man. He never asked that question. But here he did, because Christ knew that the man would not see everything clearly. The way that Jesus performed this miracle, of course, was with deliberation. It was on purpose. That is, he purposed to do it the way he did. And I believe the reason was to teach the apostles. Again, he touched the man, asked the man what he saw. The man said, I see men as trees walking. Jesus touched him again, and he saw everything clearly. So this man went from darkness to blurred vision to clear vision. And again, I believe the reason Christ did this was to teach the apostles. Again, chronologically, this miracle follows the feeding of over 4,000. We'd like to go to verse 10 of Mark chapter 8. And we want to read through verse 21, because this is what leads up to this miracle, and I believe explains why Christ performed this miracle in the way that he did. In verse 10, again, all the healing miracles, all the miracles as far as that's concerned, have lessons to teach us and have lessons especially for God's people. And all the healing miracles present the condition of man, present the need of man. And I believe that this miracle presented the condition of the apostles at this time and presented their need. But in verse 10, and straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples. In verse 11, and the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, asking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and he entered into the ship again, departed to the other side. So Jesus and the disciples have gotten back into this ship. We have seen a manifestation of unbelief on the part of the Pharisees. In verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Keep in mind what has just happened, the feeding of over 4,000. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So they have one loaf of bread. And he, Jesus, charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Again, keep in mind that Jesus just dealt with the Pharisees, and they wanted to see a sign. He was dealing with them about their unbelief. He was dealing with them with their failure to see the miraculous power of Christ. So Jesus, in light of that, said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, the disciples have one thing on their mind right now, and that is one loaf of bread. That's what's on their mind. We forgot bread, and all we have is one loaf. That's what was on their mind when Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, usually that's dangerous. And here it was. They reasoned among themselves. That is, why did Jesus just say what he did? You know, rather than spending a lot of time thinking, well, why did they say that? Why did they say that? It would be best just to go ask them. Why did you say that? But human nature is we reason within ourselves, well, why did they say that? And when we do that, we always come up with a reason why we think they said what they said. And it's no different here. It is because we have no bread. In other words, he is rebuking us, which he wasn't, but he is rebuking us because we forgot bread. And when Jesus knew it all along, he saith unto them, and he proceeds to ask them 9 questions. 9 questions. Can you imagine Jesus asking you 9 questions in the matter of a very short period of time? And that's what he did here. First question is, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Why are you thinking about bread? Why are you thinking about bread right now? Why do you do that? Second question, perceive ye not yet? That is, in light of the fact that he's fed over 5,000, he's fed over 4,000, he says, perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Don't you see, is what he's saying. You still do not understand. So we're building the context leading up to the miracle. Has something to do with their perception, their sight. Have ye your heart yet hardened? That's the third question. He continues, having eyes, see ye not? It's the fourth question. You have eyes. You've saw what I've done. Yet, don't you see? That is, don't you really see what has transpired in the feeding, in the feedings? And having ears, hear ye not? You have ears, but you don't seem to hear, is what he's saying. And do ye not remember? That's the sixth question. Do ye not remember? And then in verse 19, in the context of that last question, and do ye not remember, he asks some more questions. He said, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many basketful of fragment took ye up? They said unto him, 12. But you see, they're still not getting it. So what's it matter that you have one loaf? You saw what I did with the feeding of over 5,000. It goes back to the original question, why reason ye about bread? Then in verse 20, and when the seven among 4,000, that is seven loaves, how many basketfuls of fragments took ye up? And they said seven. So Jesus brings them back to two miracles. The feeding of over 5,000, when they had an abundance left over, they had more left over than they began with, and the feeding of over 4,000, when once again they had seven loaves of bread, but they ended up with more than they began with, which leads us back to the original question, why are you people thinking about bread? And then he asked them the final question. Verse 21. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? How is it, after seeing these two particular miracles of the feeding of the multitudes, how is it that ye do not understand? Now, when we understand something, we do what? We see it clearly. When we do not understand, we do not see clearly. So Jesus is saying, how is it that you do not see clearly concerning these things? So he is revealing by his questions, and they only answer two of them. That at least recorded answers. How is it that you do not see these things clearly? And this is a fault of human nature. The truth is, and it's illustrated all through the Word of God, it's illustrated certainly in the children of Israel. We can see miracle after miracle, but we'll soon forget it. And we fail to really see the meaning of the miracle. So the condition of the apostles at this time was what? It's not that they were completely blind. No, they were brought out of darkness when they were saved. But their vision is greatly blurred. They do not see clearly what they ought to be able to see. So in these questions, Jesus has basically said this. I have been preaching to you. I have been teaching you. And I have been showing you by miracles. And yet you still do not understand. You still do not see clearly. You are troubled because you have but one loaf of bread. Why does that trouble you? You have already witnessed two miracles that prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it does not matter how many loaves of bread you have. And then he ended with that question, how is it that you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand? My point is, their spiritual vision was blurred. They're in this boat. They now arrive in Bethsaida. And as soon as they get to Bethsaida, the people bring a blind man to Christ. And they begin to plead with Christ that he would heal this blind man. This was all by design. It's by design that they have witnessed these two feeding miracles. It's by design that they got in the boat. It's by design that they've had the conversation that we just read of. And now they realize we do not get it. We do not understand. We do not see clearly. And now here comes this blind man. And you might say, well, we're better off than him. At least we see some things. And that's true. But that is why Jesus, the first time he touched him, and he said, what do you see? And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. That would be pretty confusing to go through life that way. It really would. That would cause a lot of problems. I mean, if you saw men as trees walking, that's how blurred your vision is, you're going to have problems in life. And that's very dangerous. And it's very confusing. Jesus could have said, well, that's better than not seeing anything at all. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure if that's true. It just causes a whole nother set of problems. Before you couldn't see at all, but now you see things that really aren't so. Either one's a problem. Either one causes a whole series of problems. But when this man said, I see men as trees walking, that speaks of the condition of these apostles. They didn't see either. They were very confused. They saw very blurred. So what did Jesus do? You see, by causing him to look up and say, I see men as trees walking, he was presenting to the apostles their own condition. In their own need. It was as if Jesus said, see this blind man, Peter, James, and John, see him? That's you. That's you. He sees, but he doesn't see clearly. That's you. What he needs, Peter, James, and John, and all the rest, what he needs is to see clearly. That's you. That's what you need. So what did Jesus do? He touched him again. And the result was he saw clearly. So this miracle manifests the condition of the apostles at the time. Their vision was blurred. It also manifested their need. Their need was that they needed to see clearly. Here's these apostles, they're in a boat, they're worried sick about the fact that they have one loaf of bread. They brought trouble and stress into their life because they did not see clearly. If you're driving down the road or walking down the road and you see men as trees walking everywhere you look, you're going to be confused. And that's dangerous. And that's going to cause a lot of stress. And because we do not see clearly, it brings a lot of stress into our lives. But what do we need? We need clear vision. How does that come about? The touch of the Lord. All the Lord had to do was touch him again. And his vision, his blurred vision, now became clear. So I believe that the reason Jesus performed this miracle the way he did was a lesson to the apostles concerning their own spiritual condition at that time, concerning their own spiritual need at that time. And it was as if Jesus was saying to them, you need what this blind man needs. You need me to touch your understanding, your eyes. And the truth is this, you and I do not understand, the Bible very plainly teaches, we do not understand unless the Lord shows it to us. We need to realize that. Because there's many times when you can take the Word of God, sit down with somebody, and I'm speaking personal experience, and I ask, can't you see that? Can't you see that? It is in black and white. Can't you see that? Well, I don't see it that way. That's very frustrating. But then we have to remember, I didn't see it either until the Lord opened my eyes. And then once the Lord opens your eyes, it's as clear as can be. And this is what the apostles needed at this time. This is what we all need. We need clear vision. We need to be able to see clearly. Because if we do not see clearly, I'm talking spiritually. If we do not see clearly, that brings a lot of confusion. That brings a lot of problems, a lot of stress into our lives. We need clear spiritual vision. And that comes through the power of Christ. Let's look to the Lord and word of prayer.